Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Get ready to uncover the secrets, gain valuable insights, and conquer any dental challenge that comes your way. From advanced techniques, innovative technologies, and the ever-important set skills, Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon, and I'm really excited about our guest today. As you know, often I go outside of the immediate box of dentistry, and I go to the outside, and I gather information, explore ideas and concepts, and I look at peripheral support systems and networks that we can then bring back into the practice that can have a significant impact upon the growth and the development of the unique niche entrepreneurial dental practice that I believe you're wanting. And today, I've got a great one. It's going to be Josh Scott, and he's the founder and CEO of Studio 88, Dentistry's story-driven marketing agency. And the thing that caught me about Josh and his company is the story-driven marketing agency. Your story is worth telling. And as we know, storytelling creates one of the most powerful and important elements of any business and any dental practice, and that's connection with your patients and your clients. And Josh is going to share with us today how to obtain the patients that you want and need to develop and maintain that entrepreneurial niche dental practice that differentiates you from everybody else, realizing that the people through your marketing concepts and your marketing message, they understand implicitly that you are the practice to go to. And so a big thank you for sponsors today of the episode, Joshua, and our other sponsors. Today, I'm going to talk about Hancock Dental Arts Studios in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hancock provides the beautiful, beautiful dentistry, dental restorations that your patients are going to need in order to create that beautiful smile that they want, that's going to give them the life that they want. So go visit the my website and look up Dental Hancock Dental Arts and visit with Lance. He'll be glad to get with you. So welcome, Josh.
Hey, thank you, John. It's so good to be here, man. Beautiful morning this morning outside Columbus, Ohio, and just glad to be here with you on this on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And Josh, you know, I was exploring. I think I ran across you on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And the thing that caught me immediately was storytelling marketing. And I thought, I have to explore this and find out what this is about. Because I had just finished a podcast with a lady that she wrote a book, The Magic of Storytelling. And in my practice, the way that I grew my practice and I gained patient acceptance and treatment plans, Josh, was through storytelling, but also as important, story listening. So share with us about your Studio 88.
Yeah, well, gosh, I've been in dentistry for about 21 years now, and the first 12 of that was with a practice management company. I've always kind of been on the marketing side of that, eventually was their marketing director, helped them to grow a ton. At some point, I looked around, and I don't know, dentistry for me has always been a profession that's it's innovative, it's inspiring, it's actually this really beautiful profession of humans serving humans. And yet when I looked at dental marketing, I never saw that story being told. You know, in fact, if we're being honest, 9 years ago, and even today, I mean, dental marketing on the whole has not been very good. And, you know, very clinical, very cold, sterile, very service driven. I call it very what driven. Like, we're dentists. Here's what we do. We put that out there. And I never saw a story being told. And yet I kind of had this like viewpoint of dentistry being innovative and inspiring and beautiful. So I just asked myself, like, can we do that? Can we tell a better story? And honestly, from the standpoint of dentistry actually needs a better story. It's a profession that deserves a better story. And so when I say like your story is worth it, or we use that tagline, it really is from that premise of not only is your story worth it, but on the whole, dentistry is worth a better story.
I agree. I was a little bit innovative here in Kansas City with external marketing, because I did start marketing my practice externally probably in about 94. And I saw a void, and I knew that, that void was an area that I could go into and gain the patient base that I wanted to, and treat the people that were wanting what I was offering. And I went into it, Josh, kind of with the mindset of these people need me. They need someone to lead them and guide them in the direction that they want to go in recreating their smiles, so that they can then engage in life and recreate their life, basically, in moving forward. And I just felt strongly about the quality of the dentistry that we did. And I knew, because I had that great dental lab, Hancock, that worked with me, and I knew 1,000% I was going to get beautiful restorations back that could fulfill the design and requirements I set forth for my dentistry with my patients. And so we eliminated all the barriers. And so my marketing was based upon simplicity and talk and share emotion with the story as quickly and succinctly as we possibly could. You know, you're thinking, I love dentistry needs a better story. Share with me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, and John, if you're externally marketing in what'd you say, 94, that was progressive back then.
Yeah,
sure. And I'm sure you know this, but I think it was 76 or 77. Was when the Supreme Court overturned dental marketing regulations. Up until that point, all you could have was that outside sign. And I think there was even dimension requirements on how big that sign could be. So if your name was like John Smith, it worked. But if you had a really long last name, it's like you got to squeeze it in. And so what's interesting to me, though, is anybody who was externally marketing in the 80s and 90s, I think is really progressive, because I watched it take like an entire generation for that mindset to just work its way out to where now I think, you know, we start hitting 2000s, 2010s, and now dentists that are coming out of school, they're like, well, of course I'm going to market. But before that, it was almost a, I don't know, like if you go there, like, you know, if you market, you're not a good dentist. There was that stigma with it.
Exactly.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. That was one of my main concerns, Joshua, was going out and marketing at that point, because I was an LD Pankey graduate. I went through the Pankey Institute, and then I also went through the Dawson Academy, and both of the concepts and the philosophy from those groups was very conservative as far as approach for gaining patients and your practice per se. And so my message needed to be as such that I could not, that my, the people, my colleagues could not criticize my message, nor my approach or why I was doing this. And I was successful with that, because after a number of years of marketing like that, I had so many of my colleagues come up and say, John, I wish I had the courage to do what you did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet. Well, you know, going back to your question, I think the reason story is such an important part of this, we're calling it story. It's really building a brand, you know, if we're going into marketing agency speak here. And I think dentistry on the whole, the last couple of years, I feel like it's getting better with that, but we typically tend to forget that the biggest companies in the world are brand companies. The Apples, the Amazons, the Teslas, and they build it brand first, and that builds customer loyalty. It builds lifetime sales, like all these things. And I think sometimes with dentistry, what I've seen, and this is my, you know, two decades worth of being in dental marketing, is that a lot of times we've erred on the side of advertising or direct response, which is still marketing. It's just on the spectrum. On one end, you've got kind of advertising and direct response. Mm-hmm. On the other end, you've got brand. And so what I tell people is, you know, advertising and direct response is not bad. You know, right now, the biggest direct response play out there is Google AdWords. you know, in the 90s, it was direct mail. And the reason direct mail was so crazy and so popular was because it was, at that point, it was the shortest sales cycle that we had seen. You put a piece of cardstock in somebody's mailbox, and maybe that day, but over the next really week, month, up to 3 months, now you've got a volume of calls coming in, you know, flow of calls coming into the practice. And so so direct mail blew up in the 90s with dental practices because that was the shortest kind of sales cycle we had seen. Now today, Google Ads, that is the shortest sales cycle ever. I mean, they look for a dentist, see your ad, click it, and they're calling right there. And so those tactics are great, you know, especially, $29 new patient offer, whatever on Google. But if a competitor wants to come into town and knock you off, and your whole marketing is based around Google AdWords, all they have to do is spend more than you in Google AdWords. Yep. And all of a sudden your patient flow just dries up. And we see this with the Aspens and the Heartlands and the Comfort Dentals all the time. Brand, on the other hand, is equity in people's minds. It's what they think about you, your name, how they feel, what patients are saying. And because you're at the local farmer's market or the high school football games or whatever. And so even if a competitor comes into town, good luck knocking you off because you've got space in people's minds that you've established. And so that's why brand or story is so important.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I did the Google AdWord game because it was at a point, it was the game to play. You know, when they landed and pushed that element out there, it was a big game to play. But I never felt like I had much control over it, Josh, like you said, because you're outbidding and you know, you may be okay 1 week, and next week, you know, your same marketing budget doubles because someone else has come in and bought those keywords that worked for you forever, and now they don't work. Yeah. And so my marketing needed to be such that, like you said, creating the brand. And I guess my marketing, I kept my marketing internal, meaning it needed to be about my practice and not trying to put a message out there that competes with other people. I didn't want to put a competitive message out there. You know, most dentists still today, they do their external marketing on print or whatever. It's a menu of services, but that doesn't tell people much, at least the type of people that I wanted in my practice. Share with me, Josh, how you go about and what are the most important things that you provide for your clients that help them brand this differentiation and makes their office the one that people need to go to?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, I want to also just kind of be clear. I'm not a either or like a good or bad, right or wrong guy when it comes to brand versus direct response. And we have clients kind of all, really it's a spectrum, and we have clients all over that spectrum. You know, one of the things I think I've seen the last couple decades is it's just kind of skewed over to let's advertise, direct response, you know, get butts in the chair type of a thing. And part of my challenge to the space has been, while I understand that need for a return on that investment, it's also kind of a short-sighted and even crass kind of way of looking at marketing. Whereas I think we can have a story and brand and really building a business. And I think some of this is at the heart of it, John, is it's like, we've got a 1 to 3 year mindset when we're trying to grow a business. And I'm like, no, this is like a 10 to 20 year mindset. And so if you're thinking about it like that, brand, now you've got the patience to build brand to, you know, put you in a position where you've got a really strong business in 10 years versus are we just building something quick for 3 years because we want to flip it and sell it or get acquired by, you know, DSO or start location number two or number three. So I think sometimes just goals are different. We work with our clients in a lot of different ways, but those brand components, you know, like for us, everything we build is completely custom. Like 100% from day one. And when I say that, I mean truly, truly custom. And a lot of marketing companies will say that. We like the writing of the site all starts from a blank document. We never copy and paste paragraphs of text from other sites. Code is all started on a blank document. The thing that's different with us, most marketing companies your project, like with a website, will start with a developer. They're usually working from about 10 to 12 different previous sites that they've built, changing colors, moving text around, putting in photos and adjusting it. And then boom, you've got your site. With us, there's a step before that. We actually, it starts with a designer on a desktop. And that's key to our process. Blank desktop, designer designs it, goes over to a developer, now create this in the digital space. And so, so for us, our process is truly 100% custom. And then just early on, man, custom photography and video. 9 years ago, our first website, we built with custom photos. We've never built a site with stock photos. That was just in our DNA from the start. Because I was like, if you're going to tell a story, you can't use stock photos and tell a story. Those things are just at odds with each other. So
that just does not work.
No. And it was, to be honest, that's probably been more the challenging parts of our business model, is because we got to be in practices and we got to travel. We got to have a team of videographers and photographers that travel, because that's just such a huge value of ours. We couldn't let it go. It was like, nope, we have to do this.
Yep. Share with me how that goes, Josh. A client signs up with you, and like you said, your video team needs to go into the practice. What does that look like? And what are they trying to accomplish when they go into a practice like that?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is we usually go in, we try to minimize disruption. And so most of the time we can do it in a morning or an afternoon, a 3 to 4 hour segment. Our team, our creative team, plans it out ahead of time. So the agenda, video outlines, all that stuff is just to put our clients at ease coming into it. But we just want to capture real life. We want to capture the team smiling and interacting with patients. Sometimes they're real patients, sometimes family and friends, but just getting people to come in and stand in as patients, trying to recreate the entire experience, like from the moment they walk in and they're greeted in the waiting room to chair side or x-rays or the hygienist or doctor presenting treatment, a consult room, leaving, all those things, lots of smiles. We don't film or shoot anything with masks and gloves. And, you know, we tend to rip all the plastic off of everything, which I know is not how we practice dentistry, but at the same time, you're trying to portray emotion. You're trying to capture smiles. You're trying to just get all those.
Exactly.
So it's really just representing who you are. Patients, when they experience your website in a digital format, what they're doing is it's called transference. They're putting themselves in that situation. And so if all you have is stock photography, they can't do that. But if there's custom photography of a woman being greeted at the front desk and the team member smiling, the patient puts themselves in that experience and they're like, oh, they're happy. This is amazing. So
I think that's a critically important component of good marketing, is the ability to take that patient emotionally and allow them to see themselves in your environment with you and your team taking care of them. I'm curious, how many offices that you go into, and you may do this during your vetting and see that, I don't know that this is necessarily a good office for us to work with, but do you run across teams or doctors that are difficult to express themselves and speak in front of the camera? And if so, how do you folks manage that with them?
That's a great question, because video can be tricky. And when I say tricky, I mean intimidating to a lot
of
people.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have some way. So I understand that. So there's kind of some different approaches we can take with it. Number one is we really try to encourage our doctors. You're probably overthinking it. It's probably going to come out amazing, you know, right? Like, our team is really skilled. We tend to approach video as like off, like looking off the camera interview style with our team member. So you're not trying to look directly into the camera. I find when that happens, people kind of just tense up and they start getting robotic, you know, if they're talking to a camera. But if they can talk to a team member off camera, that helps settle the nerves. So we have tips and techniques that can really help settle them. Because at the end of the day, people connect with you on video. It builds trust. It establishes your expertise. If they can just hear you, I know the insecurities you've got, but like, put that aside. It's going to be amazing if they can connect with you. Worst case, I mean, we've had a couple clients where maybe they just, you know, can't get past that fear, just aren't comfortable with it. We can interview team members. You know, maybe there's a long-term office manager that can step up and talk. We can interview patients and be patient-centric in that. Team-centric, doctor-centric, patient-centric. Like, there's different ways we can approach it. But at the end of the day, video right now is just such an important part of the digital experience that, gosh, I would... 95% of our practices, I think, do the video portion now, whereas back then it seemed like 1 in 10, you know, 9 years ago we used to do it.
Yeah.
So that's just where we've come from.
Yeah. You know, I think that's an important element for the doctors to hear and understand, is that if they have stage fright per se in front of the camera, you know, my son years ago when he came into the practice, you know, we were doing videos, and, you know, my son Philip, he can talk. I mean, we'll be out in the middle of a trout stream and he'll be 50, 70 yards down the stream and he'll be talking to me the whole time and going, Philip, you know, be quiet, the fish. So we get him into the office and we get him in front of a camera and he gets that glassy eyed look and starts looking around. So I can't do this, Dad. So it took a while to do that. But the fact that there are people out there like that, and they're going and they're listening to this podcast here, and, you know, I can't do that. Therefore, I don't know if I can approach Josh and his team. But you guys can work around that definitely, because there's people out there. I'm going to say this, and I believe it very honestly, Josh. There's practices out there that need you and need what you have. And I think that's the way you look at it yourself, is that you have such a great product that practices out there need you in order to get to that level that they're wanting and looking for. And so all the support things that you have to walk the doctor through those fearsome moments, plus the team themselves, and how to manage that and create the message that you're wanting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been fun. I think that's, you know, your point is right. It's the best practices we work with, almost they tell me, they're like, Josh, we're like our community's best kept secret. You know, they're great practices. Yes. They've grown on internal referrals, patient referrals, great patient experience. It's like all the foundational business pieces are there. They've just never marketed or never put themselves out there. And so those are the best ones to work with, because you get to come alongside and go, there's a beautiful story here. There's an amazing story here. Like, let us help you tell it. And there can be a little, you know, insecurity and things that way, because you've never done that before. But at the end of the day, it's what's going to serve your community best. It's what's going to serve your patients, your team the best. It's going to serve the business the best. People need to know about who you are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I know so many doctors, and there's always this conservative element that, gosh, I just can't afford to go with a marketing team, a marketing agency. And I kind of look at them, Josh, and go, you know, really? You cannot not afford to do this if you're going to go into your niche dental practice and be the entrepreneurial dentist that you want to be. You have to have a great support marketing team help you with that process, because marketers, we are not. I enjoyed studying marketing. I enjoyed the psychology of it. I enjoyed developing my emotional components. I enjoyed studying connection and all of that. But how to put that out there to where people can understand it and relate to it, that's where your expertise comes in. And it is essential to have a great branding marketing team. And that's where you guys come in.
Yeah. And I think, John, you know, a lot of people, the thought of like, do I have enough to invest in this? And while marketing just seems overwhelming. And usually what I encourage people is just starting that process, like set a budget. The best thing you can do with marketing is take the emotion out of it, set an objective budget every year. You know, most dental practices, I would say on the whole, that I see are somewhere between 3 to 5%, maybe some up at 7% of collections or revenue. And so maybe you're like, I'm spending nothing. I'm like, fine. But next year, like let's go into the next year with 1%, 1.5%, and keep building from there. Because what you don't realize is, you know, like $1 million practice, if you're spending 3% a year, that's not a huge amount, but $1 million business really requires that. Like these are these are things that build businesses. And so if you don't have a marketing budget, your business has a weak point. So that's just number one. But if you're spending $30,000, year one, it may not seem like a lot. Year two, you're like, oh yeah, we feel like this is working. Year three, you're like, now we've got a lot of momentum. I'm like, well, you just spent $100,000 over the last 3 years in marketing. And that's how it works. And it continues to build and build and gain momentum, you know, to where John, I mean, and, you know, transparency, this year we'll spend right about $500,000 on marketing. That didn't happen. I mean, that's been 9 years of just increasing it and knowing, like, objectively, these are the things we spend money on because we get a return. And so, you know, people are like, wow, you guys are everywhere and it just seems like you're blowing up. I'm like, well, take 9 years of a marketing budget and put that out in the world and you build some momentum from that.
Absolutely, you do. With my marketing, I knew that in order to grow my practice into the direction that I needed to take it, there had to be an external marketing component that supported my vision and supported my objectives. And, you know, Josh, it doesn't take very many large cases to cover the cost. Now, it's just not the cost that, you know, they're paying it with profit. And so, you know, they may look and, yeah, this is decreasing my profit, but look at the realized gain over the year. And that's where it really comes into play. They need to keep the big picture in mind and not be afraid of jumping off the plank and starting a marketing program.
Yeah. You know, one of the things when you build story-based marketing, I believe it's better marketing because it's authentic. It's you. It represents you. So it's like, at the end of the day, how can that not be better marketing? And so when we work with our clients, we absolutely see an increase in new patients, an increase of traffic to the website. More importantly, we see an increase of engagement on the website. So whereas before, yes, somebody stays 20 seconds and then they bounce, our sites, especially with video, are usually a minute to two in engagement. And so that's a huge metric. But the thing we hear most is that whole conversation of ideal patients. Like, hey, we get emails and texts and comments like this all the time. But, you know, Josh, we had a patient come in that basically said they knew I was the right doctor for their treatment because, yep, of the website. And just want to let you know, that was a $27,000 case. I was just in a, yep, practice yesterday in Colorado. We had some Facebook marketing happening around full mouth procedures, you know, all on X or whatever. And been running for 3 months. They had three patients come in from it. One was a general new patient with a couple fillings. That's what it ended up converting into. One was a new patient that came in with a failing denture. So they'll redo that. The third one, he was like, it was a $40,000 case and I just started on it today. And this was a $1,000 a month Facebook budget. And so I was like, we got it right. I mean, we got it right there. We're 3 months in and you've already got a return on that investment. And so when you market right with story-based messaging, it's not even about volume of patients necessarily. It's about that ideal patient going up, that trust going up, that case acceptance going up, all those things.
Yeah. You know, the thing about stories, Josh, and I know you know this, is that people remember stories. And so when you do storytelling marketing, people are going to remember that over the other marketing messages that they hear. Our ears and our minds sift out the junk, and the stories remain, and they have the impact with us. And that's what we want with our perceived patients that are out there searching and looking, and we want our story to stand out with them. Give me two or three things that we need to know, Josh, absolutely need to know about Studio 88.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you a couple of things. We have a lot of fun serving our clients. We say we serve the best, which just means we just feel like we've got the best clients, but we also feel like we work with the best practices. You know, those that really want to stand out in their community, be unique, do something different, you know, be impactful. So we've designed our agency experience really around those leading practices and what they're looking for. So I tell people, like, we have a little bit of a different approach. We take 8 new clients a month and that's it. Right now for 2023, that's our capacity. That's what our creative team can handle, our account management team, to where we know we get the best creative result and the best customer service result. We could keep growing, but then I'm like, but then you're going to get less and less attention. The creative's going to start to slip. And then we become one of those companies that's growing too fast that everybody now has complaints about. So we limit that. So that's something that I think people should know. And then secondly, we really feel like chapter one of Studio 88 was really over-indexing on the creative, trying to get attention for that, because I felt like that was what needed, that was the solution that needed to be put out there. But the last year to 18 months, we've really invested in our services team. So SEO experts, digital ad experts, social media experts on the team as well. And if John, to be real honest, if our competitors were going to knock us in the last couple years, it's been, their websites are beautiful. They don't perform well on Google. And so that was the shot we would always take. And some of that was definitely not true, but there was some hints of truth to it, because when you build something that's more story based, there's not a lot of text, it's more photography, media driven. You know, Google didn't like that at a certain time. Now they've kind of come around to realize, like, okay, that's, you know, this Facebook, Instagram kind of layout is where everything's going. But we've invested in that heavily in the last couple of years, to where now we actually feel like you can get the best of both worlds. You can have a story-driven website also with performance marketing, score high on Google, get great return on digital ads. And I think dentistry, this is really the first time I feel like this has been out there. Most dentists have had to choose. Do I want a beautiful branded website, or do I want one that's going to score well on Google? And so we've had to make those choices, and we've made choices on agencies because of that. And I think we're the first ones in the space to go, hey, we've solved both pieces, which took us 9 years to do, but we're there now. And so we have a ton of fun with that. Our clients get a free photo session every 24 months that they're with us. So, you know, yeah. So like even solving that piece of how do I keep the website fresh? I've got new team members. How do I get them on it? Well, every 24 months, our photographers come back out. We reshoot everything, update the website. There's no cost to any of that. And so, you know, if you build a website right, man, I think you should get 10 years out of it easy. And our clients from 9 years ago, our first clients still have the same website today. Like, no joke. They just update the photography. Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that really makes us unique is I feel like we say we work with the best. We feel like our clients are the best, but we also feel like they're practices that really want to stand out in their communities and be different and be impactful. And so we've built an agency experience really around leading practices and helping them reach their communities. And so we do things a little bit different. I mean, John, you may not know this, but we only take on 8 new clients a month. Right now, that's our capacity in 2023. And like, that's what we can handle as a creative team, our account management team, to know that we're going to get a really good creative result and we're going to take really good care of our clients along the way. And so that's kind of been our approach to, instead of just adding in more and keep growing, then all of a sudden creative starts to slip and we're not returning, you know, yep, emails and stuff like that. And which is the story of every fast growing company. It's, you know, all of a sudden we start talking like, well, their customer service is just not good anymore. So we just decided we didn't want to be that way. So we've really built something that we feel like is unique around serving our clients. The other thing I would say that makes us unique is the first chapter of Studio 88 was really over-indexing on the creative and delivering that at a high level. Chapter two here in the last year has been really about building out our services team. And so we've hired SEO experts and digital ad experts, social media experts on the team. And it's really the data and the analytics behind it has been amazing. Because up until this point, like, if our competitors were going to take a shot at us, it was always beautiful websites. They're not going to score well on Google. And to some extent, that was true. To a large extent, it wasn't, because we build these like completely custom content pieces that Google likes. But we really kind of took that to heart and said, hey, can we bring the best of both worlds together? Because up until this point, most dentists have had to choose. Do I want a beautiful branded website that tells a story, or do I want a website that's going to score well on Google? And we've had to make that decision. we feel like we finally, for probably the first time in dentistry, have brought that together, that you don't have to choose. We can build a story-driven site with performance marketing. Some of that's been Google's algorithm changes. Some of that's been us bringing on really talented people as well. But the data has been awesome. And last, I'll tell you, we every 24 months that our clients are with us, we do a free photography session for them. And so the cool part is, one of the pain points we've had, we heard from our clients was, okay, I get this beautiful site built, but then what? Like, I've changed team members, yeah. I've remodeled, how do I keep it fresh? And so we've just built that in. Every 24 months, we schedule a new photography session, come out, shoot that, refresh the site, feels brand new, no cost to any of that. And I think you should be able to build a website to get 10 years out of it, easy. Like right now, our clients from 9 years ago still have the same website. They've just updated photography. Mm. And so if the narrative is good, if the structure of the site is good, you know, the fact that you're like redoing a website or hiring a new company every 3 to 4 years is bananas. It really, and even just thinking about that momentum as a business, when you have to start and stop and rebuild that stuff, it's not a good strategy for your business. So
no, it isn't. Yeah. Gosh, that's awesome. 3 times over 24 months.
Yeah.
You're right. The refreshment of it and putting out new verbal content, new emotional content. And, you know, the doctor and staff may be getting better at their ability to communicate and stand in front of the video camera. And they realize that the message that they gave last time just needs more of their authentic self speaking. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of the patients they're looking for. They want to hear your emotional part of you. They want to know that you're going to lead them, take care of them, be present with them, and take them in the direction that they want to go with their treatment and their care. I wish I'd have ran into you about 1995.
Yeah, that
would have been
fun.
I it would have been fun working with you, Josh, without a doubt. Let's bring this home now. And what would be one big gold crown takeaway from today that you want the potential clients out there to know about you and your studio?
Yeah, I think it's this, you know, whether or not you decide to work with us, because I'm the first one to say we're not trying to take over the entire dental marketing space. We know who our clients are and who we work well with. But I would say on the whole is bring that story into your marketing. Bring the why into it. Even if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't have a great story. I don't have a cool story. You know, some of that's not specifically what we're talking about. We're talking about the story of the practice, the story of your team. Why did you choose dentistry? Why that city? Why that location? Why your team? Why that philosophy of care? Those types of things are what needs to be communicated. And so I kind of do this, like, it's not the what, it's the why. Like, again, if we've got that spectrum, dental practices tend to go all the way over to the what, and we talk about all the things, you know, and they we just bought a comb beam. Can we put that on the website? I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. But let's go over here. Even why did you buy a comb beam? Like, sometimes we just forget to even tell patients that, well, the reason I invested in this was because I value this type of clinical result, because I'm placing implants, I'm doing endo, and I am so much more confident having that image with that. And that's the standard of care I want to provide. So now patients are like, I love that. they don't know what, you know, a cone beam is. So
exactly.
It's just think through, you know, I know we go what, but even like, yeah, here's the clinical track I'm on. Cool. Why? Why did you choose those things?
Yep. That's a great final takeaway, Josh. Understanding their why and being able to articulate it with meaning to the potential patient, the person viewing the website. Simon Sinek, you know, he says, start with why. And that's where it all begins. And once you can articulate that well, and you've given it a thought and really, really gotten down to your bottom line why, and then you as the agency can take that and run with it in their marketing and their branding message. That's great. So it's been awesome today, Josh, spending time with you, and share with our people our audience and community how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, yeah. If you're on Instagram, that's the best place to connect with me. I'm at Joshua Scott, S-C-O-T-T. And then for Studio 88, you can check us out online. Our website is saeeat.com. So it's the letter S, number 8, letter E, number 8.com.
Okay. And we'll put everything on the notes at the bottom of today's episode, Josh. And I wish you the best at their business. I know you're very successful. I've looked over your team. You have a great team. You've got 25 plus people right now. Yeah. And I think that is awesome. I'm proud of what you've done with your company and how you've built it and the foundation that you have built it on. That's a great philosophy and approach in a business model. And kudos to you for doing that. That's our episode today. Thank you for visiting with us and staying with us. This is Dr. John Gordon.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more Fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.